and welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. Here we are, episode 290. Things are changing, switching it up. If you're watching the video and you saw me react to something and then immediately pick up my phone, it wasn't immediate, okay, come on. A little bit of time. I got a text from a job I applied to, which A, not a fan, but B, I Googled them because I didn't remember who this was. I Googled them and I'm not talking to you. There's a speaker over. I'm not talking to you. And it was, I'm going to go ahead and say no. I'm going to mark this as spam and I don't ever want to see them again. They can email me or they can give me a call. Never, ever send me a text. Report, spam, block, go. So I love about having an Android phone. You know, also I love about having an Android phone. And again, I'll get to the episode. Recently, I've been needing to, I've been out in the world. I haven't been doing anything. I've been needing to do something like watch golf and watch basketball at the same, or two golf matches at the same time. LPGA, PGA, no big deal. And or watch something and go on the internet at the same time. I love Android phones because you can choose, you can, especially Samsung phones, you can download an app via Samsung that they make themselves. They don't put it on the phone. They just make this app. And you can only get it on Samsung phones called GoodLock. You can download it. And then it has like 10 to 15 other apps within that app. It's just like an aggregate that allow you to do things like change what your entire phone theme looks like. You can make it a theme of bananas. You can make it a theme based around your pets. You can make it a theme around chips, whatever you want. You can do, what else can GoodLock do? And again, I'll get to the episode. I got stuff to talk about. I got three things. You can change, create new lock screens and always on display styles. It's just, it's a great app. If you're watching the video, I'm sliding through GoodLock right now. Look at all these different, that's one section. That's makeup and then life up. You can just update your life. Then I got this idea a couple weeks ago. I'm sitting around. I'm like, I need to watch. Again, I'm out in the world. Just working a part-time job. Out in the world. And I need work a part-time job. And I need to be able to watch. What was it? It was after the Masters. It was an LPGA tournament after the Masters as well as a PGA tournament. It might have been FedEx or Heritage. No, not FedEx is here. Anyway, it might have been Heritage, RBC Heritage. I wanted to watch both at the same time. You can download an app on GoodLock called Sound Assistant. The problem is, usually on iPhones, iPads, Android phones regularly, if you put two video sources up at once, only one source is going to play. Or if you put two audio-based sources up at once, only one's going to play. Why do you need to be able to watch and hear two at the same time? Or what? Just let me do my thing. All right. Sometimes, like I'm at home and I'm playing a game, but also I have a podcast on because I don't want to hear what the game volume is talking about. So, I just wanted to be able to switch back and forth between the audio for both matches. So on YouTube TV, I had the RBC Heritage, and on Hulu, I had the LPGA, or vice versa. And with Sound Assistant, you can turn the audio down for one app, and then you can turn the audio up for another app. So I can have both matches going on at once. I thought it was so awesome. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. So here, I'm going to pop open YouTube TV. And then I'm going to grab, I'm going to grab Max. Drag and drop. And bada bing, bada boom, at the same time, he says, and Max isn't working. At the same gosh darn time, I can have two apps playing. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. The one time I'm doing this is not working. All right, let me pop up a Netflix. I can't do Netflix? Okay, let me pop up on YouTube. We'll do YouTube. Here, we'll do this. This is the easiest part. Here we go. Boom. I can have two things going on at once. Isn't that awesome? I thought it was really cool. Look at that. Okay. All right, we're done. That's all I wanted to talk about. Listen, if you like what you heard here, head to the website, seamlesscom.com. This is a good 5 minutes of waste of my time, waste of your time, waste of everyone's time. What's going on? Nothing else is good. Nothing much is going on. I took how much time have I taken off from late night lately? Because they're taking time off. I think the next 3 weeks I won't be doing that show. But LinkedIn logs are still going strong. What else is going on? I got the balcony door open. It's a nice, cool April day before it gets super hot this week. So you will hear Maverick running in and out. He's been running up a storm. I got his e-collar on so I can vibrate, tell him to stop it. Or shock. We'll see if it gets to that point. No beep. I don't know if you just heard that. He did. It's on his neck. What else is going on? I'm genuinely trying to kill time. No, let's get to the first story. All right. This first one comes from Variety, who has the website has a brand new, I'm still embarrassed by trying to drag up two video apps at the same time. I couldn't find, because you can't split screen Netflix apparently. Variety has a brand new stinking coat of paint on the website. It looks like the New York Times, quite frankly. Except it's got stuff that matters less. This comes from Selena Kuznikov. Less than 30% of Asians and Pacific Islanders in the U.S. feel properly represented on screen, study finds. Now, if you notice in the past year, we've seen a decent uptick when it comes to people of color, not just including people of color, but also not, sorry. And within that segment of people of color, at least what I've seen is an uptick in Asian and API, Asian and Pacific Islander representation on screen. Who was in May December? Was that Charles? What was it called? May December, and then his name was Charles something. Charles Melton. He's an Asian fellow. Beef was represented well for Netflix, especially in terms of award status and how people like watching that show. I like the show too. I just couldn't come up with words. Let's see. I've seen just a crap ton more anime be posted on places like Netflix. I'm scrolling through. I'm trying to scroll through whatchamacallit streaming services now, but the problem is we're not accelerating at a rate that makes more sense for when people see themselves on screen. A new study from McKinsey & Co. and nonprofit organization Goldhouse found that while Asian and Pacific Islander representation in the entertainment industry has made significant gains over the past several decades, most API consumers do not perceive API representation in film and television as authentic or reflecting their own stories. There's a lot of, and also I see like Physical 100, you see a lot of imports from shows. So, but what I'm thinking here is that people aren't, when they see a show, when they see shows like White Lotus, when they see shows, I can't think of another show, The Bachelor, then they're not seeing people that look like them, which makes sense, as opposed to just seeing imports. The report states that accurate API representation in media could potentially lead to an additional $2 to $4.4 billion increase in industry revenues, as half of API consumers will be willing to spend more money and time on films and television shows that often are representing their experiences. Yes, there's a show on Netflix that just, and I hate to pick on Netflix so much, but The Brother's Son, I think that's what it's called, Brother's Son. The Brother's Son was just canceled. Disney Plus had a show. He's really playing with that toy right now. It's not throwing me off, but it is pissing me off. What is that show that was on Disney Plus that was American Born Chinese? That show was canceled after one season as well. These, was it? I don't want to say that. Hold on. Born Chinese canceled. Yep. Yeah. So American Born Chinese and The Brother Son were both canceled because they didn't live up to expectations of what the streamers' ratings, you know, surmised. I mean, at some point, it is the network. You know, if the network doesn't put enough energy behind it, if you put all your energy behind Stranger Things and like a tenth of your energy behind The Brother's Son, even though Michelle Yeoh can outact any of those people in Stranger Things, no offense to them, but also major offense, then isn't it at some point your problem? Like, I've seen more advertising for Dead Boy Detectives, which just launched this past Friday, than I saw for The Brother's Son. And that is a show that I added to my list. And also, and this goes for every streaming service, every network, traditional network, just because people don't watch immediately doesn't mean that they're not going to watch at all. They need to take into account, instead of canceling a show after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, give it a month. You know, some people, when you have a show like, when there's shows like Fallout that launch, people are still, even though there's going to be a lot of people that binge it, there's still a lot of people that watch things one at a time. Me. I'm like three episodes into Fallout. You know what? I'm enjoying it. But I'm going to take a rest every couple of days. Same thing. That's why I like coming to. No, not the title of this episode. I like watching The Bad Batch every week because it makes me want to come back to Disney Plus. And then, hey, I'm staying on Disney Plus. Oh, I'm going to watch American Born Chinese or X-Men 97 or what else? Monsters at Work. That show sucks. Oh, God, I've never been so mad watching a Pixar property before. I've never been just so disappointed in Pixar. I enjoyed The Good Dinosaur before I enjoyed what's that boy's name? The Italian boy, Little Pasta Man. What is that movie called? Luca. I enjoyed Luca more than I enjoyed Monsters at Work, and I dislike Luca. I'll tell you what movie I did not enjoy. I think it might be a Disney movie. I don't think it's Pixar. Turning Red. Yeah, it's a Pixar movie. Oh, God. It's Asian representation, all that stuff. I celebrate it, but God, that movie sucked ass. And I'll say it to everybody's face who was a part of it. Also, there's a trailer for, I'll get off of Disney in a second. There's a trailer for Mufasa, which is the prequel to The Lion King. I'm not kidding. I despise that Lion King remake. It took me, when did it come out? Because I watched it for the first time last year. it came out in 2019. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. It took me 5 years to watch that movie. And I watched it. And I'd never been so angry, seething with anger. Every single person, and I love Beyonce. I think Donald Glover's a talented person. And I think everybody involved with that movie should be ashamed that they made that movie, because that movie sucks. And it made me so mad to sit there and watch that. What's funny is I watched the cartoon one like 2 weeks prior. Anyway. Oh, I hate that movie so much. Anyway, despite the abundance of content from the U.S. And abroad featuring API characters and storylines, more than two-thirds of API consumers are dissatisfied with the authenticity of their representation on screen. Additionally, projects focused on API characters and storylines are less likely to get promotional resources. That's what I was talking about. Needed to reach a broader audience, according to a report. What's it going to take so that we can stop doing these studies You know, because how many times has the Annenberg Inclusion Initiative come out and said there's a lack of women behind and in front of the camera, lack of black people, lack of Indian, Native American. I was using that interchangeably at some point. I'm trying to be good about that. But there's a lack of Asian and now Pacific Islander and people differently abled and queer. Like how many, like we, if I were a studio head, if I were David Ellison and I'm buying Paramount to merge it with Skydance, I would go, what are we missing out on? I would look at these studies. What are we missing out on? Let's see if we can build upon that. Because if the U.S. in a couple of years, by 2050 is going to be, you know, 50% black and 40% Latino, you know, if previously underrepresented peoples and races are going to be the majority of the United States, then at some point you've got to be able to cater to those people. So I'm saying start right now and make more shows like Fresh Off the Boat. Make more shows like Beef. Make more movies like Monkey Man and Turning Red. And allow people to show who they are without having to cater to, and I know this is talking about like their story, like API people are missing their storylines and stuff like that, but bring them into the fold of a Skarsgård movie. You know, if you can do Anyone But You with two people who look like they can be brother and sister, then do the same thing with mismatched races. Or what's that new show that came out on Hulu that stars that woman who has, her arms are just, man. What is the movie? I think it's on Hulu. It's been popping up in front of me. Newly added movies. It's not Poor Things. Emma Stone wants to be called by her name Emily now instead of Emma. That's like when Anne Hathaway was like, my friends call me Annie. I'm like, I don't know you. I'm going to call you Anne. I don't know. I don't know what this movie is. But it's the movie with the lady and she's got good arms. And I think it's like a queer love story about her and her friend. I don't know. It's not Max. I'm almost positive it's Hulu. It's not Paramount. It's not Peacock. It's not Apple TV because I've not opened that up in a long time. It's not Prime. I don't think it's Prime. But anyway, I just think that we should be able to do these things correctly. Like, look at The Bear. The Bear is a show that has, like a restaurant, like essentially every single race, almost every race represented. If you never worked at a restaurant, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a strong chance your food is being cooked by Latino and black people. I tell you that right now. I worked at a fine dining restaurant, and I'm still looking for the show, for this movie. I worked at a fine dining restaurant. I've worked at a lot of restaurants, but I worked at a fine dining restaurant a couple of years ago, and it was fine dining, and it was in a more white part of town, and everybody working there was black, white. It was owned by an Asian family, Chinese family. So owned by a Chinese family, mostly black and Latino workers with like a smattering of a few whites, and anyway, that's how representation, you know. We need more representation is what I'm saying. Like, I enjoyed the movie Quiz Lady. Let's do more of that. That was just nice fun. Vacation Friends. Ugh. Such diverse movies. Prey. I want to see Prey. Introduce me to a Native American tribe. I don't know. Introduce me to Native American lifestyle in the past in this fake movie. about Predator coming down for the first time. And then also give me a dub with the Comanche people speaking their language. That's amazing. Anyway. All right, next up. This one comes from Cord Cutter News, written by Luke Boma. Local TV stations want the FCC to turn YouTube TV... There's a misspelling here. Or a lack of a letter here. To turn YouTube TV into a cable TV company after local ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC locals demand it. All right. There's a YouTube TV and Hulu with live TV and Fubo TV. Fubo TV is just like oversized jean shopping shirts that say medium, but they're just like the size of like comforters. And it just says Fubo right across the front, and that's all you watch. So all of these internet cable-based companies, they're making a lot of money, and YouTube TV is the one that's leading the charge. But they're making money. People are canceling left and right their regular cable, their regular satellite, in order to jump to this new form of cable TV, which I just call internet cable TV or whatever, just connected cable TV. And it's good for the consumer. It's good for the companies because they're making money. And it's bad for cablers who have been shortchanging everybody for years. The problem with this is that your local ABC affiliate, your ABC affiliate, your CBS affiliate, your Fox affiliate, your NBC affiliate, your CW, they want more money because they were getting a decent amount from the cablers, even though you can access those services for free with over-the-air antennas and everything like that. But in order for YouTube TV, for instance, to access ABC, they have to have a deal with ABC in place. That's why sometimes you'll see ABC go black on Dish or, you know, CBS go black on Fox, because they are in the midst of getting more, asking for more money. At the core of this issue is whether streaming services, Boma writes, should be considered cable TV by the FCC and therefore regulated like Comcast or Spectrum. The move could generate a lot of money for local TV stations by allowing TV stations to set their own terms with streaming services instead of having to rely on deals made by Paramount, for example. Earlier this year, the National Association of Broadcasters announced that in 2024, one of its main goals is to get the FCC to change the rules about how live streaming TV streaming services, I'm dying, are regulated. Now, this week, the affiliate associations that represent the owners of ABC, CBS, and NBC have joined the push to demand the FCC reclassify streaming services like YouTube TV, Hulu, Fubo, and others as cable TV companies. This is it's something that was going to happen at some point, especially when you see how that YouTube TV, I think, is the leading one. I was going to put a number out there, but I don't think that's true. The number I was about to say is true. But it is the leading one. I'm petting the dog. If you see me smacking anything, that the leading number is true. That, what was I talking about? That YouTube TV is the one that has makes the most money, that has the most subscribers, and with that, I mean the local TV stations. This is not something that, you know, that they're gouging the internet cable companies for. They're not gouging them for money. This is something that, you know, it's at some part a free resource. These ABCs and Foxes and CBSs and NBCs, but they require money to operate as well. So I guess what I'm getting at is it is right for them to want to get a bigger piece of the pie, And it would put, you know, if the FCC, you know, is going to do something like this, regulate them, then they could help lower prices. They could make competition more fierce by allowing other companies who want to join these internet streaming things, make it more better. It could help competition. It could hurt them in the long run. I mean, they could pass the buck on us. You know, the YouTube TV already costs $73 a month, but if ABC, Fox, NBC, and CBS get more money out of the deal, then you know, YouTube TV can go, all right, well, we don't want to carry the NBC Universal channels anymore. So you would lose out on Bravo, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, all that stuff. And then if they do join up again, they go, all right, well, now we're going to say $2 more from the consumer. So now you're paying $75 per month, which is what we saw with Viacom. And we've seen them go up because of Viacom. We've seen them go up because of Disney and things like that. Not just YouTube TV, but all of them. So if these changes are going to affect from the FCC, services like YouTube TV, Hulu, Fubo, Sling, the rest, are going to have to strike deals directly with the owners of local TV stations instead of the networks themselves. That'll allow the local TV stations to have more control over how much money they get from the streaming services. Currently, local TV stations have to accept deals made by Paramount to negotiate on behalf of all the local TV stations. So that means YouTube TV would have to come over to Atlanta and go, hey, WSB, we can offer you this much money. And it'd be different for every affiliate. To help stop that, the Preserve Viewer Choice Coalition, whose members include YouTube TV, Fubo, Hulu, and others like Roku, pushed back, saying the FCC cannot legally turn them into cable companies. So companies like local owners of local TV stations like Nexstar, they're at odds with their owners, which are ABC, Disney, NBC, and other guys. Under the existing rules, ABC and NBC can sign contracts covering all their affiliates, even the ones that they don't own, with streaming services like YouTube TV. If local TV wins, it would dramatically change how the FCC regulates live TV streaming services. That's how you put it. Not online cables, that I've been saying. Primarily, it would force the live streaming services to negotiate directly with the local TV station. Next, okay, we've already covered this. A lot of this is just like, anyway. I thought it was an interesting piece. Apparently, I don't know words anymore. And this final bit comes from the New York Times, written by Callum Marsh. Disney scrapped their show, an unlikely champion saved it. So we've seen a lot of shows get canceled and then unceremoniously and then picked up ceremoniously by other platforms or other networks. We just saw Girls 5 Eva get booted over to Netflix. We're hopefully from Peacock, where hopefully it will make it'll get a lot more viewers. I'll tell you, there are about 4 less episodes this season, and man, that show suffered for it. It's a funny show. It's a funny show. It's like joke. That might be the title of the show. Yeah, I just typed in joke 5 times. Yeah, okay. Just to make sure I had to count. We've seen, like I said, let's see. What else has been? Great American Baking Show. That was on ABC for a bit, and then it moved over to Roku. I think it lived somewhere else as well, but I don't remember where. But now it's on Roku, doing pretty hot. The TBS show starring Nassim Pedrad, Chad, that was canceled on TBS years ago. They shot a second season. TBS had picked it up, and then David Zaslav came in, and then they're like, all right, well, we're not going to do TV shows on TBS anymore, so goodbye. And then Chad, we thought, wasn't going to come out. And then Roku picked it up. Thank goodness. But this happened with the Spiderwick Chronicles, and now it's at Roku. Even though Disney canceled the show before it even aired. And apparently it's, quote, delivered results beyond expectations. Let's see. It follows Aaron Ellie Colliette, who is the writer and producer of the Spiderwick Chronicles. Disney pulled the plug last year. Christine McCarthy, the chief financial officer for Disney, said on an earnings call in May 2023 that Disney was in the process of a strategic shift that would lead to downsizing and cutting across the board, which led to the Spiderwick Chronicles being canceled, even though they hadn't made the show. The Roku channel, which is ad-supported, and you used to only be able to get it on Roku devices. Now you can get it on most devices. Most, not all. Picked up the show and all 8 episodes. They debuted recently on Roku, which now lives among the stars with Weird, the Al Yankovic Story, which is a fantastic movie. Just so good. And the reboot of The Great American Baking Show. Roku announced on Tuesday that Spiderwick had the best first weekend of any on-demand title on the Roku channel in terms of total hours streamed. Roku declined to give a specific number, saying that only that Spiderwick was watched by millions of streamers in the first 3 days on the platform. That's good. It's a shame that it's come to this, that shows and movies that are canceled or kind of tossed aside, like that Christmas Batman movie. What is that Christmas Batman movie? Christmas Batman movie. That was Merry Little Batman. That was just tossed aside by Warners and given over to Prime. Which, again, you can't say Amazon Prime Video. You'd say Prime Video. I got that in a press release. And I was like, all right, guys, calm down. But we're at this point where they can sustain making movies and TV shows, these streamers and studios and everything, but they aren't willing to, if they don't think something is going to live up to the expectations, they're just going to go, okay, we'll write it off for tax, or we'll just sell it off to the highest bidder. If you don't put any might behind a show or a movie, again, going back to American Born Chinese or The Brother's Son, then you're telling the audience you don't have any confidence that it'll do well. I should see billboards and commercials and TikToks about those shows. Spiderwick Chronicles, although it is a show that is focused on children, on a children's book series, I guess tween, and it stars younger stars, there are people, and I'm a millennial, there's people in my generation that grew up with those, even though that was kind of on the tail end of us, I guess, being in high school, I think maybe, or middle school. But offer it up like that. Hey, this is nostalgia. We're going to hit your nostalgia beats. You guys like the Spiderwick Chronicles? Go and watch it. Go watch this new show. Same thing for, if people read, and I hate J.K. Rowling, but I do think Harry Potter is a fine franchise. But if you're going to re-record, which is what they're doing, they're going to re-record the Harry Potter audiobooks with just a whole slew of actors and people cast as different characters. If you're going to do that, then go for the nostalgia beats. If you're going to be shameless like you are with Stranger Things, if you're going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons and, I don't know, what else happened in the 80s? Cassette tapes. People want to relive and things that make them feel good, especially when they were younger. So if you're going to do a Percy Jackson show, let's hit it that. hit it what made that thing so special. Same thing for Harry Potter. Same thing for Spider-Man Chronicles. Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I'm thinking of something. I can't get it out. Chronicles of Narnia. I expect Greta Gerwig and Warner. I think it was Warner. I expect them to really harp on the fact that that was a giant book series that in a lot of ways is has a biblical size proportions. Because I think Aslan is Jesus or something like that. Anyway, look, I didn't say anything mean about Greta Gerwig this time, even though I think she's a bad director. Listen, if you like what you heard here, head to the website. I'm kidding. If you like what you heard here, head to the website, cpluscomedy.com, where I've got a brand new interview up for you to enjoy. Sierra Cato, she's a fantastic comedian. She just released her new stand-up special, Funt, F-U-N-T, over wherever you buy stand-up specials, YouTube, Apple, Amazon, Prime Video, Vudu, I assume. Wherever you buy your specials, you can buy it there and watch it. I've seen it. I think it's funny. And again, I do not watch stand-up anymore. But I saw Sierra, and I was like, I think she's so funny. Can I talk to her? And thank goodness her people were like, yes. Now, how often do I get a no? Ooh, so often, baby. You don't want to know the comedians I've reached out to. The ones that respond. One of them, I'm not going to finish this sentence. Nothing. It was nothing mean. It was nothing. Just somebody I like, who I reached out to the people, reached out to them on Instagram. Not a word, Nicole Byer. Anyway, check it out. You can watch a video version of that interview along with this, a video version of this show, as well as the other podcasts I do, and sometimes News Time, over there on youtube.com/cpluscomedy. You can listen to that interview wherever you get your podcasts. Under the Constitutionals podcast, as well as on LinkedIn Logs, which is the Jobs podcast. And the Constitutionals podcast is the Entertainment Business News podcast for this premiere. What else is going on? You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at C+Comedy. Follow me on those platforms at Chad Black White. I wanted to talk about my new toothpaste, but I didn't feel like this is the video for it. Okay, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Thank you. Once more, thank you. Bye. I said thank you three times.